Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's easy with an LA dude because he's used to being on Pacific time. And right now it's just midnight Pacific time. Michael Duarte, NBC LA, is still here in studio with us. And it's kind of funny. I'm getting mixed responses to our Dodgers, Yankees, possible World Series matchup. Some are saying they just care about Otani. Others are saying they don't give a bleep about Otani. Yeah, we get it. But wondering about overall, would you feel like you were getting bombarded and bashed over the head with nothing but Yankees and Mets? Just as a side note, people talk about all the time that you can't buy a World Series, except that right now, still standing, we have three of the most expensive payrolls in baseball. So there is something to sinking more money into your payroll and hoping that you get more talent that way. But yeah, the Mets, aren't the Mets the most expensive payroll in baseball, producer
Correct.
Pete?
Correct.
Dodgers are number two.
Dodgers are five.
Oh, Dodgers are five.
I think the Yankees are two, right?
Yankees are two. So you're
Padres
talking about
are three, I believe.
Yeah, you're talking about really expensive payroll. So it does work. I mean, you ask the Pirates fans how they feel about teams not spending a lot of money. Something else, too, while we're talking about payrolls, but other end of the spectrum. Did you all see, of course, you saw the damage from Hurricane Milton to Tropicana Field, but now the news coming out from Rays officials that the stadium will definitely not be ready in 2025. There's no way they're going to be able to get it fixed is what they're saying. And so where are they going to play? And right away I saw people from Oakland
Coliseum.
Hey, we've got a stadium out here if you're interested. But I also saw some because I grew up in New England, saw some people that are associated with Hartford say, we've got a stadium here too. I mean, the A's are going to a minor league stadium. So if you've got one team that's playing in a minor league stadium. And to be fair, the Rays probably could fit most of their fans into a minor league stadium. So yeah, that's another big thing in baseball. We're talking about Otani and what it's like to cover him and how he handles it. I'm glad to know that he remains gracious despite the fact that there's this furor around him. What I'd really like to know as we start hour two here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, how close was he to pitching in this postseason? Was there actually a thought, or was that just something being dangled by reporters, Mike?
I think it was being dangled, but hey, if we do have a Yankees-Dodgers World Series and it's a clinching game six or a game seven,
he's not really going to pitch
and
now.
And he doesn't throw his bullpen. I mean, what I've been told is he has continued to do his normal pitching regimen. In fact, I don't remember which game. It was game four of the NLD, game five of the NLDS. He was out there doing his long toss, doing his normal routine that he would do if he was, like, you know, in his normal pitching rotation. And I joked, you know, he should be the guy that should start this game five over Yamamoto, of course. But no, he's still doing it. He's still progressing the way he would normally as he's still going through his rehab from a second, I don't know if they want to call it Tommy John, but UCL surgery on his throwing elbow. The Dodgers front office, Andrew Friedman, Brandon Gomes, their general manager, they shut down all talks that he would pitch in the postseason. We talked about, I mean, the Dodgers probably would have the highest payroll if Ohtani wasn't making $2 million this season and making the $70 million that his contract adds up to. Obviously, that'd put him in a different bracket. So I think they're getting a bargain with a $2 million Ohtani this year. However, they can't mess. Ohtani, just the home run we talked about tonight, hitting it to LaGuardia, I was joking, but...
Oh, no, it went 410 feet up in the air. And
yeah, I went over the foul pole. I was insane. Like, what? But yeah. He's 17 for 20 in his last 20 at-bats, dating back to the regular season with runners in scoring position. That's the most ever in MLB history in that span of 20 at-bats or more by any player. My point of this is how valuable he is at the plate right mm-hmm. now as a designated hitter. You don't even risk at all putting him on the mound, whether he could or not, or whether you know he'd be ready to do that or not. You don't risk that at all, because if Ohtani suddenly got hurt on the mound and you couldn't use his bat in the lineup, with all the injuries the Dodgers are riddled with right now in this postseason, that just completely would take away everything and obviously diminish their chances. So that's why Brandon Gomes and Andrew Friedman put a stop to it early on. My point, though, is if he continues to do this, build up like this, and you get to the World Series and you get to a clinching game and you have like a 1-3 run lead
dangling
late
it out
in the game,
now?
The DH hitter can go to the bullpen and warm up and come in the game and pitch.
Oh,
if he only
gosh.
Had to give you one inning to seal a World Series and you don't have to worry about tomorrow,
no
I would
way.
Love to see
he
it.
Hasn't
the theater
in over
alone
a year.
Would be dramatic.
No, he hasn't pitched in over a year. How do you even know what you get with him?
This is why you have pitching coaches and
that's
clocks
true.
And
all, right.
all the technology they have in his bullpen sessions right now to see if he would be ready to do this. And again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. That would be the only scenario in which I could see it, where if he were to get injured or put himself in peril, he has the entire offseason to recover and rehab, and the Dodgers will be celebrating a World Series in that event if that were to happen. So that's the only way I see it, but I am definitely dangling out there because I think myself and every other baseball fan in the world would love to see that happen.
It's crazy. What is the difference between a jam-packed Dodger Stadium and a jam-packed Citi Field? Whether it's noise, whether it's reaction, how do they compare or contrast?
40-degree weather.
Well, yes. Actually, Walker Buehler said he loves pitching in the cold. That's terrific.
He did say that, and I was talking to him about this before the game on Tuesday during their workout, and he said when he was at Vanderbilt, he pitched in sub-32-degree weather all the time, and he hinted to me at it that like the ball moves a little better in the cold, and I think he got the benefit of some deep fly balls that died out at the warning track, including a ball Lindor hit and Vientos hit that
right.
maybe would have been out at Citi Field a month or two ago. That we're not out tonight. It looks like this cold has come in. I was also talking to some of the Dodgers front office executives. They had research done showing that in the first three innings at Citi Field, the wind actually blows like from the first base dugout kind of out. So if you're a right-handed hitter and you want to pull the ball out to left field, the first three innings are the time to do it. But then they said the wind shifts and then it kind of goes out from the visiting dugout on the third base side out to right field, to the right field foul pole, where Ohtani and Muncy's home runs went upper tank. So that's an interesting scenario. So the wind is a factor. You don't really ever see that at Dodger Stadium. I remember it during the 2021 NLDS Game 3, I believe, at Dodger Stadium against the Giants. It was very cold and windy that day, but that's an anomaly in L.A. So just having been there 2 days ago, it's 80, 90-degree weather. Sunshine
boring.
Out, palm trees.
Boring.
Every media member is wearing glasses on the field pregame. And then we came here at the same time and it's cold.
Guys
and it's
are wearing
windy,
knit caps.
And there's beanies yeah. and jackets and the skyscrapers are blocking the sun. So you're not really getting the heat. That's kind of the difference. I think the attendance tonight was a sold out like 43,000. Dodger Stadium sells out at like 58,000. So it's a little louder, a little more crazy at Dodger Stadium. The moans and groans, though, tonight at Citi Field on Wednesday night in Game 3, that's a little more than I hear. And the Mets fans turned on their own team.
Yeah, they tend to
a
get
a little
like
quicker
that.
Than I've seen
Ask
Dodger
Pete.
Fans do.
Pete knows that they're on edge, right? So they're expecting uh-huh. the worst to happen. And when it does, it's almost like validation.
Oh, yes. I've been on edge since 1987.
Yeah. I noticed.
But what about how does Citi Field and that let's say, hostile atmosphere compared to Petco Park when the Dodgers were there in San Diego.
Yeah, that's a great example. Petco Park, believe it or not, and fans won't believe this, but I wrote an article, Amy, that actually did really well. Pat on myself on the
back. Way to go, Michael Duarte.
Thanks. That was about the...
award-winning.
It's a story everyone knows, but it was about the San Diego Padres blocking fans, Dodgers fans, from Los Angeles zip codes from purchasing tickets to the NLDS Games 3 and 4 at Petco Park in San Diego. Now, they've done it before. I actually argued in that story that it was good. It was a good thing. Fans are calling poo-poo on the Padres, and they're your sore losers, and all of these things, and this is cheating and not fair. And as my sister, who lives in San Diego and is a diehard Dodgers fan as well, when she came to Game 3, she said, I'm not used to seeing Petco Park not 50% blue with half Dodgers fans. But you want, in the postseasons, to have a home field advantage. And if you were to open up tickets to everyone, the Padres would not have a home field advantage. By keeping it close-knit to the San Diego zip codes and Orange County only, that place was electric. It was all a sea of brown and yellow, nice. The towels, yellow towels waving. It is a hostile atmosphere and environment. And my favorite moment, as someone who covers the Dodgers and as an L.A. kid and a L.A. sports fan, was when I parked my car before Game 4. The people next to me, and they don't, I'm just dressed like this, like in a suit, so they don't know. But they came out, and he was telling these two women that he was with that he was bringing to the game. He's like, aren't you glad I bought tickets to Game 4? Now you get to see the Padres clinch, and we're going to be there when they celebrate.
Nice.
And I picked the best game. I could have been to Game 3, and they won, but Game 4, we're going to celebrate, and we're going to spray champagne. When the Dodgers won in Game 5, and I was getting champagne and beer sprayed on me in the Dodgers clubhouse, I was thinking of that man and saying, I wonder where he is now after watching his team not get a hit or a run in two consecutive games, right, and over 24 scoreless innings. I wonder where he's still at that point. So it was an absolute hostile environment. And the last thing I'll say, but comparing it to Citi Field, there was a moment in the game, I don't know if you saw it, but it was the at-bat before Ohtani hit the home run to LaGuardia. He fouled two balls off himself, one on the right and one on his like inner right leg. The fans were booing and growing and yelling at him, calling him like soft.
Oh,
when he's...
gosh.
I don't know if you've ever played, but when you hit yourself with a ball,
ouch,
the leg,
it
hurts. And Andre Ethier, a former Dodger, broke his leg doing that one time. So they were actually on Ohtani for taking some time to like walk it off and feel better after he did it back-to-back pitches. And I've never seen such a ruthless crowd get on someone for fouling it off themselves twice.
I think Mets fans would enjoy being called ruthless. Well, I was going to ask you what Ohtani's reception was like. Were there any Dodgers fans there or anyone who would dare root for Ohtani when he hit the home run? I know it started to empty out after that. But anyone who was happy to see him there or was there just to see Ohtani?
I imagine there are some baseball savants, of course, who are here in New York, who love the game, who grew up, whether you're a Yankees fan or a Mets fan, and you just respect the game. And so seeing, you know, the greatest player we've seen since Babe Ruth, and maybe when it all said and done and the dust settles, he's better than Babe Ruth, want to come out there and see Ohtani. I know when Ohtani and the show, the Dodgers and the show go on the road, it's like the Lakers Showtime era. Like, everyone wants to come see Ohtani perform and play. He was getting a standing ovation in Miami when he went 50-50 on the road, right? So I think there were some Dodgers fans, but no, his introduction was the loudest boos of
all.
His was more than anybody else.
Good for you, Mets fans. How about that, Pete? Nobody's going to be a sellout there and cheer for Ohtani. Even if that is actually the reason they're there, they're not going to let you know it. They're going to go ahead and boo the crap out of him.
And even if they're getting creamed, ain't nothing. They're still going to boo him.
Yeah, I think Pete would agree with me. The only one who might get booed louder than Ohtani right now is if Chase Utley came back and was introduced for the Dodgers at Citi Field.
Security escort probably to get Ollie on the mound.
I'm petitioning for him to throw out the first pitch in Los Angeles before Game 6 if there is one. I think that would be great for the city of L.A. and New York to try to come together.
I'm surprised they didn't do it in Game 1. That would, if I was running the Dodgers, that'd be the first thing I'd do.
And they had Manny Ramirez do it instead. They still tried to bridge that New York hatred with
Manny being Manny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio. The post is up on our Facebook page, too, if you want to weigh in. It's a safe space. You can be honest and truthful, but don't use inappropriate language, because you know what happens when you use inappropriate language on my social media. 855-212-4227. How do you really feel about Dodgers and Yankees if that's where we end up, though we still have days to go here? year before the World Series would begin. So, Michael, something else I was going to ask, too, I was thinking about when I've talked to people who cover the Golden State Warriors and how, and this applied to when Kevin Durant was there as well, but how Steph Curry needs his own set of security because even the team security can't handle the mobs that he attracts everywhere he goes. But it was also the same with Kevin Durant. Everywhere those two guys go, they needed separate private security to go with them. Is that the case with Otani, or is it just his handlers around him, as you said?
Yeah, great question. And I've seen that with Kobe. Kobe had his own security as well. LeBron does not, but he has his own like kind of personal PR person that handles
him. Does he shove people?
And Kobe did too. He doesn't shove people, thankfully. But yeah, it's tough to get to those people. Otani does not have his own personal security, surprisingly. I would agree with you in that. Obviously, he has his own interpreter. But Al, the head of security for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who I also know very well, when it's time for Otani to go anywhere that he has to go through, whether it's media or somewhere in the fans that fans have access to, because I don't know if you've ever been to Dodger Stadium, but when you leave the clubhouse
Bucket
to get to
list.
The elevator to go back up to where the players park their cars and leave, you have to go through like the dugout stadium club where like all the VIPs, and you'll see Jason Bateman and Will Arnett who introduced the lineups before game two. That's where they're hanging out and stuff. So there are fans that have access to him. I know Rob Lowe got in the field after they clinched in game five and jumped on him and celebrated with him. So they have access, and there is like a
Otani
team.
Do you think Otani knows who Rob Lowe is?
I hope he does. I'm not sure.
That's crazy.
Maybe he's a big fan of Rob Lowe. We don't know,
that's
right?
True.
Maybe
you
he's
never
on
know.
The outsiders. Maybe
that's partly how we start to learn English. I know a lot of my Hispanic friends, they learn English by watching movies with subtitles. So, all right. So you're going through this area. He doesn't have security, but Al.
I bet Shohei Ohtani has seen Austin Powers enough to know who Rob Lowe is. But yes, Al gets the rest of the guys, and there's a whole team that escorts Shohei out whenever he has to kind of interact or be in a space where fans or other people can get to him. And one thing that I noticed, Al usually travels with the Dodgers in the playoffs and keeps the security. There's like three or four guys that are security in L.A. that are here in New York that in past postseasons, I don't think they've flown out this many extra guys, but they're here for this series of the Mets.
Interesting. Okay, so I've saved the best for last. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Dogs. I am so excited to hear more about Decoy, but not just Decoy, your own dog. So let's talk about dogs. Your dog is not here for this series, but if this is why I might root for Dodgers Yankees.
This should be in the tweet. This should be the question of the night, right?
If Michael Duarte has to come back to New York for Dodgers Yankees, are you also bringing the dog?
100%.
Okay. Now, is Decoy with Shohei on the road trip?
It's a great question. I haven't seen him yet. It's a good question. I haven't seen him yet. I would hope he is, or he came with. I mean, I know his bed from home comes in the Dodgers team playing
Stop
with
it.
Him. So Shohei's sleeping
Stop
in his
it.
Own bed, literally. He should have his dog here as well. But to
Wait,
your question.
I'm sorry, say that again. Shohei's bed goes on the team plane?
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about how gracious he is and like he's uninterrupted, right? But then like, he's a bit of a diva if he brings his own bed with him on the
is
road.
Is he the only one that brings his own bed?
He is, but I bet you a lot of other players might start to do
might
it
start
too
doing
if
that.
He keeps hitting mammoth
That's
home
incredible.
Runs like this.
Okay, these are the kinds of fun things that you would never know if you don't talk to Mike. Okay, so he brings his own bed on the team plane.
He brings his own bed on the team plane on the road. He's very particular about what kind of mattress he sleeps on, clearly.
Yeah, we have noticed that he's very particular about things, so that doesn't surprise me, considering that many athletes, they're trying to stay in their routine and keep everything the same around them as much as possible. But we know Decoy goes to home games, right?
Yeah, so I was telling you, when he signed that 10-year, $700 million contract, and it wasn't...
Bargain,
we knew there was
price.
The key clause, right? Which if the owner of the Dodgers, Mark Walter, or Andrew Friedman leave the organization, then he has an out. He can exit that clause. Dave Roberts is not in that, as we were reminded of when they were down 2-1 to the Padres in the NLDS. But as part of that contract, he has a suite at Dodger Stadium, his own personal suite that his wife sits in. His parents came out to visit during the season. They go in it. But it's also, for all intents and purposes, Decoy's suite, because Decoy is at every game on the fifth level at Dodger Stadium.
Decoy goes to the baseball.
In his own suite.
He has better seats than a lot of people.
Yes.
Pete, one thing that was amazing was watching Ohtani pregame try to train Decoy to do the first pitch, to bring the ball and retrieve it and bring it past home. But he worked on it for 2 weeks. He hired a dog trainer to help him.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was flawless execution.
It was.
When, and I'm sure you saw the video. Flawless execution.
Oh, heavens. I've watched that video at least 50 times. That is my favorite first pitch of
mine
all time.
Mine, too.
Okay, so decoys allowed at the ballpark whenever he wants to be at the ballpark.
Correct.
I feel like if you're Ohtani and it's your first World Series appearance, your first chance to play on the biggest stage, your dog, your... essentially, your security blanket, your BFF, has to come with you.
I would think so, but maybe if the Mets are not as accommodating to give Decoy a suite at Citi Field, I'm not sure where maybe he'd be. And maybe he's here and he's back in the hotel, and that's why I'm not seeing him at the stadium. So then, you know, he has the comfort to go home and hug and play with Decoy. How many times, Amy, have you just had a bad day at work? And you go home to your animals, and it just makes everything right.
Yeah, you open the door. They're wagging at you. They can't wait to see you. They greet you with all, telling you everything that happened while you were gone. And all of a sudden, the stress from work just melts away.
Dissipates.
No, it's the number one reason why I say people should have pets, because it gives you perspective all the time. And they're extremely loyal, too. So we don't know about Decoy, but I'm just going to tell you a little story that Mike told me when we were in the break, only because I want to out him, because this is how much of a dog lover he is. Apparently, Mike sits in the press box with his binoculars and stares into Ohtani's suite until he sees Decoy's tail flicking back and forth in the suite.
This is confirmed, yes.
I love that. But Mello might be here.
Mello will be here if we get the dream Yankees-Dodgers matchup in the World Series.
Your dream. Yes.
I think it's baseball's dream. I really do. It's not just because of the East Coast-West Coast rivalry. Obviously, it is Lakers-Celtics in the extent that these two teams have met in the World Series more than any other two teams in MLB history. But you have the American League MVP and Aaron Judge, who...
Presumptive.
And the National League presumptive...
You know, we try to be accurate around here.
National League presumptive MVP in Shohei Ohtani, who... If Ohtani doesn't go 50-50 and become the only member, you know, one member in the 50-50 club, you could argue Aaron Judge had a better statistical season than Shohei Ohtani did. And if there was only one MVP like the NBA has, you could argue Judge could win
it. A near triple crown, right.
Correct. So to have both of them head-to-head on the biggest stage, to have, you know, Yamamoto pitching a potential game one or something of that series, the international attention it would get with these two teams, I think it would be absolute blockbuster action.
Hey, Pete, can you Google what time it is in Japan, in Tokyo?
I think they're 16 hours.
Oh, they're 16. So they're 16 hours ahead?
Ahead, yeah.
All right, so that would mean that it was about, what, middle of the next afternoon by the time these games begin?
When he was in the postseason for that series with the Padres, we were seeing feeds in Japan, people waking up early in the morning to watch, and literally having watch parties to watch Shohei Ohtani, to watch Yamamoto pitch.
Right, it's not just Shohei, it's
also
Yamamoto. Correct. And then think about
Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish, you started too. So right now, you said it's 4:21
p.m.
in the afternoon. So then it's not... Well, from L.A., it's obviously a little more, but from East Coast time...
Oh, so 13 probably, is that what it is?
Yeah, we're talking
13,
about...
13,
we're talking
exactly.
about the afternoon, early afternoon.
16 from West Coast, where I normally am.
Oh, Pacific yes, there we go. Well, we're about to talk some football. Oh, and a little WNBA. Any of these things interest you?
I was watching the WNBA.
Whether you want to
buy
in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
NBA Finals on my phone from Citi Field today. I watched Sabrina Ionescu's dagger logo 3 to win it. It was very Kobe-esque, obviously a mentor of hers, so I'm all over that. Yeah,
nice.
And I predicted in the preseason
that
the Liberty would win the WNBA Finals. I did. I thought that it would be them and the Aces again in a rematch, and I thought this time they would best the Aces. Unfortunately, we got that in the semifinals, not the finals, but I still had Liberty winning it all, and I think there was a little bit of a hangover after they beat the Aces in that series, but now I think they're kind of getting
against
their
the
stride
links.
Again. Yeah.
Mm. It's so much fun to have a co-host here in studio. Have you no work to do?
No, I'm done.
He is with us for the long haul.
We can wear the big hats if you want. I was wearing them at the Super Bowl, which ironically, that's the last time I saw you. Two times in 1 year. I'm excited.
Woohoo! And maybe three, depending upon what happens with Dodgers Yankees. 855-212-4227. You can talk to Mike, too, if you want, or producer Pete. And we do still have some football terrific stuff to get to. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers talking about their reunion with the Jets, but also Antonio Pierce after Devontae Adams is no longer a member of the Raiders. And if you guys haven't seen the video of Tom Brady walking into the Raiders facilities for the first time, he got quite the welcome. That's on my account at A-Law Radio. Amari Cooper, Josh Allen, Jim Harbaugh. He had another cardiologist appointment. So plenty to get to still. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hey, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoy listening to your show. I actually get up and go to work earlier just so I can hear your takes.
Amy, I love your show. I've been listening for years, and I'm a first-time caller.
Great, thank you.
How you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I've been listening to you for about a year now. You keep up the good show, and I'll keep listening.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Amy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You do a great job. Love listening to you. Just get me home every night. I don't know how you do it by yourself.
Love you, Amy. I drive home from work every night. I'm a bartender, and I listen to you every night. Love hearing a lady on sports radio.
That's right. We rock. Thanks so much. I appreciate your phone call.
Woo! Yeah.
Guest in studio, which is really cool for me. I hope you're enjoying it as well. We're getting some insider intel about what it's like to cover Shohei Ohtani, but also the fact that he takes his own bed on the team plane when they go on road trips. And that decoy has also been on the team plane. And I'm wondering if any other players take their dogs with them on road trips, or is this just Ohtani?
I'm sure they have taken their dogs with them. Almost all the players have dogs. Walker Buehler has two dogs, by the way, and a French bulldog. Shout out to Walker's dogs. Corey Seager had a little dog that Melo was friends with named Hazel. So back in the day. And I know they all went in the bubble in 2020. And so
with their dogs.
Yeah. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some players were able to bring their dogs on the team planes. They all bring their kids and all the That's kids awesome. Hang out. And in fact, this is just from tonight. We walked out of the Dodgers clubhouse post game. Like I told you, that was the one thing I had to do with NBC tonight was the post game stuff with our cameraman. But as I walked out, it was just sea of Dodgers friends and family. I had to step over kids, push them aside. I was just like, oh my gosh. It was like one big Dodgers family party. And I know the further they go in the postseason, that's kind of what the Dodgers do. They let more and more people on the plane. They'll get a second plane. They'll bring more people who work for the team in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium come out to some of these games. It's really a kind of a family feel environment. And I've heard that a lot from the players over the years. It's kind of why Dodgers different than maybe some other MLB franchises. And so that's something I saw and has always been kind of evident. And so it wouldn't surprise me if players were allowed to bring their dogs.
It's great corporate practice, is it not? When your employees are happy and they feel like you care about them and you care about the things they care about, they're more productive. I mean, that's a great corporate strategy. I wouldn't say it's an operation here at our company. We were at one point, Pete, this is before Pete, trying to think about sneaking Penny into the studio, but we had heard because another colleague down the hall that works for one of our local New York stations had snuck his dog in one morning, and we can't confirm or deny, but he was missing a couple days after that. So there may have been a suspension for bringing his dog into the building, but that's just part of it. I think if you have happy employees and they know that you care about their families and what matters to them, thinking about the Buccaneers and when they had to evacuate from Tampa, the team ownership made a way for families and pets to get to New Orleans. So they flew them all there on team planes, which is no easy feat, right? I mean, obviously they're charters and they're big planes, but you're still talking about like three times the number of people plus pets. But yeah, if you take care of your people and you take care of their people, well, then generally they are happier. And it makes sense that the Dodgers would be a free agent destination, not just because of the weather and because they spend a lot of money, but because they do take care of their people.
And when Shohei Ohtani is sponsored by Porsche and he's giving out Porsches to his teammates too, that's a nice incentive as well.
Oh my gosh, Shohei Ohtani living the life. Is there anyone in this world that has a better life right now than Shohei? One more question I have to ask, only because Clayton Kershaw is one of my favorite people in baseball, and I've missed seeing him pitch. I did hear that it was essentially Dodgers or no one, and that he's going to give it a go in 2025. What do we know?
Yeah, so I was actually talking to Clayton Kershaw.
Of course you were.
Ahead of...
Michael Duarte's so cool.
Ahead of game one of the NLDS. And we were talking about that big toe, that bone spur in, on his left toe. I believe it's like I think it's his big toe, and I'm not sure why, because his pinky would be the one pushing off the rubber. But it was the big toe that was causing him issues. He kept throwing because he wanted to be on the postseason roster. He wanted to pitch in the playoffs. Hmm. And when he went and got an MRI a couple days before the playoffs, the doctor said, you've made it worse. And not only now can you not pitch in the postseason, you're probably going to need a procedure after the season's over. And that got Clayton thinking, do I even want to pitch next year? Because now this is the second procedure in the second offseason in a row that I have to go through. But this time he was very adamant when I was talking to him that he wants to pitch again next year. We didn't know who. Obviously, the guesses would be Rangers, Dodgers, because he said, you know, he talks about his kids and they're growing up and they're in school during the season, and so he doesn't get to see them a lot. They're in Dallas area, and so the Rangers would be a, you know, presumptive choice for him. But he 100% confirmed he's coming back to play for the Dodgers next season. So he's very close to the 3,000 strikeout. I'm sure he wants to get that in a Dodgers uniform. He still needs a lot more wins to get up there as well, but. I think we're going to 100% see him in Dodgers blue. I think it's a team option, so maybe they just exercise that. And, yeah, we get to see more Clayton Kershaw at Chavez Ravine moving forward.
I want him to go out in a different way, not because he's injured, which I know he's got a lot of mileage on his body, but he is he's a future Hall of Famer. And whether it's I couldn't imagine seeing him pitch somewhere else, but whether it's Dodgers or something else, I just want him to go out on a high note. And I've even heard him talk about how much he's proud of these Dodgers, but how much it sucks to not be part of it. And you know, that competitive drive, it's probably killing him that he can't get out there and pitch in these big moments. And if they would win a World Series without him, how hard that would be for him. So I do hope he gets another high note. But yeah, he's one of my favorites. I want to be able to see him pitch again before his career is done. That's just a personal note. Okay, coming up, we've got WNBA Finals that end, a game that ends with not quite a buzzer beater, but a last second shot by the same woman who was brave enough to go into All-Star Weekend and have a three-point competition with Steph Curry. She is bold, and she brings those same skills on the court every night. Also, I didn't see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere in the middle of that broadcast, a little Caitlin Clark icon popped up. Hey, Caitlin Clark, she's a first-team WNBA All-Star coming to a TV near you in nine months. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amel. Kike Hernandez just continues to shine in the postseason.
Hernandez hits it in the air left field. Nimmo back on the warning track. He's at the wall. This ball is gone! Kike Hernandez owns October. A two-run blast, and the Dodgers double their lead. It's now 4-0 in the sixth.
15th career postseason home run as the Dodgers shut out the Mets 8-0. Call courtesy of the Dodgers Radio Network. Shohei Ohtani had a three-run moonshot. Max Muncy went deep as well. While five pitchers allowed just four hits while fanning 13, he was led by Walker Buehler with the first four, struck out six. Dodgers take a 2-1 series lead. Big week of football set for this weekend, including a Super Bowl rematch, 49ers and Chiefs. But despite all the history, Kyle Shanahan trying to focus on the here and now.
Yeah, I think everyone understands that we've lost two Super Bowls to them. So, I mean, that can give a little post-traumatic stress when you turn on the tape, but I think that's human nature. But you got to make sure you don't get caught up in that. You know, this game has nothing to do with past games. That was last year. We're playing at a really good AFC opponent. We're 500 right now. We want to stay atop of our division and get a win.
Steelers giving Russell Wilson first-team reps. Unclear if Justin Fields will remain the starter against the Jets or if Wilson will get the nod. Meanwhile, the newest Jet, Devontae Adams, expects to make his debut in that one as he gets a chance to reunite with Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of the success me and Aaron had is because we were on the same page. And, you know, him and I, whether it was the signal he gave and we changed the play, or knowing when the ball's going to come out, or understanding that just because they're trying to double team, it doesn't mean you're covered. You can always, you know, beat a safety with the ball.
College football, Oregon got plenty of credit for using a loophole and a 12-man on the field penalty to help drain the clock in their win over Ohio State, but NCAA has now closed that loophole in the rule book, giving the offense an option to put the time back on the clock. WNBA Finals, Liberty a game away from their first ever championship, upend the Lynx 80-77, courtesy of a Sabrina Ionescu three, which is 1 second remaining. Breonna Stewart led the way with 30 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks. Liberty up 2-1. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Seconds remaining in the fourth quarter of game three. 4 seconds. Ionescu will heave. And hit! And hit! Sabrina Ionescu with the biggest shot in Liberty history. 80-77 New York in front on a logo bomb.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That, the call of Game 3 WNBA Finals, Ryan Rucco on ESPN, who nailed it, just like Sabrina Ionescu did, with about a second to go in their game against the Lynx. And this was actually a game that the Liberty trailed by 15 and had to come back. A lot of turnovers, a lot of points off turnovers, some sloppy play early, but were able to reel in the Minnesota Lynx and ultimately take game three. So now you've got, what, talk about a time for New York sports. And I've joked about this before. If not for work, I would never be in New York. I grew up in New England. New York was never a destination that I wanted for my career, for my life. And we very rarely talk about multiple New York sports at the same times, other than to make fun of them, at least in the past 12 years now that I've been here, because a lot of the sports have been so bad in New York since I've been here at the network. But it is changing now. So the Mets, they're still in it, obviously. The Yankees are 2 wins away from the World Series. You've got the Jets, who, while they're 2-4, are constantly making news. The Giants, of course. Pete, what should I say about the Giants? They're playing games.
That's all you can say.
They're facing Saquon Barkley this weekend, their former running back. But now you've got the New York Liberty, who are 1 win away from their first title in franchise history. And considering the popularity of the WNBA, even though it's not the same viewership and the same interest without Caitlin Clark, the numbers are still up. We've seen that the viewership numbers are still much higher than they've been in the past for WNBA finals. So, Sabrina, huge superstar. She's there in New York. She was drafted by the Liberty, and then Breonna Stewart came in, and the two of them are a formidable combination. This is quite a moment for her, and she was named, this is kind of interesting. You can tell she's got the chip on her shoulder. She was named to the WNBA second team. So all WNBA second team. Caitlin Clark, by the way, as a rookie, makes the first team. Hasn't happened since 2008. Only 5 rookies have ever made the all WNBA first team. Sabrina is on the second team, and she made a comment about how not bad for an all WNBA second teamer. But what about that game-winning shot?
In the timeout, Sandy kind of was just like, you're going to shoot this shot. And I feel like I was able to get a little separation in range and get a really good shot to go, obviously wanting to let the shot clock wind down, and kind of got the space that I needed to be able to get my feet under me and feel comfortable taking that shot. And sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't, but I've practiced that shot a thousand times in my head, on the court. And, you know, I feel like that's just something that as athletes, you put yourself in that position to want to be able to make a shot. And obviously, like, we don't win this game without Stewie. I mean, what she was able to do, just continuing to chip away, obviously she'll speak. But, there's nothing I can say. Like, that shot's nice, but that doesn't go against what she's been able to do for us tonight and how she was able to just will us back into that game.
Stewart, being Breonna Stewart, Stewie, as she is known to her friends and family and teammates. She had 30 points, 11 rebounds in this one, so she has another double-double. And she was terrific as well. Had a late and one in this game that tied it against the Lynx after they were in that big hole. And this was against a raucous crowd there in Minnesota. So they're on the road. They're doing this against the Lynx. The Lynx have this big lead, but Stewart and the Liberty had to reel them back in.
We knew that our pace was something that made them tired. And for me, it was just kind of like I was motivated, I was mad, and I liked my matchups that I had. And really kind of attacking them to make sure that we could get this back into where we needed to be for it to be a ball game.
Kind of interesting. I didn't realize this. I know there's been a lot of movement in the WNBA with their franchises, but I actually didn't realize this, Pete, that the Liberty are one of three original teams in the league that are still in the city where they started. So a lot of the others have moved, but the Sparks, LA, the Mercury, Phoenix, and the Liberty are the only three teams that are still in the same place and are still based in the same city. And the Sparks and Mercury have three titles each, so they've got a bigger, I wouldn't say bigger fan base, but a fan base that's been rewarded with titles, whereas the Liberty have come close, they just haven't yet. And for the longest time, they didn't have the star power. But once they drafted Sabrina, I believe she was number one draft pick overall, then they were able to attract Breonna Stewart, who at the time was in Seattle, where she won MVPs and titles, and now they're legit on the map. And I'm telling you, she is a badass. Sabrina's a badass, and so she's a lot of fun. And to, you know, to go back to the All-Star appearance that she made with Kobe, sorry, she was not only a friend of Kobe and his wife, and still is with Vanessa and the girls, but he mentored that Oregon basketball team, that women's Oregon basketball team, and they became really close. She spoke at his memorial service too, right? So they had a really special relationship. So she talks about him a lot. But she and Steph went back and forth in that three-point competition, and he barely beat her. That was a really neat moment for her, even though she's not named Caitlin Clark. But it was kind of cool. I don't know. I know your daughter's too young to introduce, but anyone else in your family into the WNBA? Because my mom has become a huge fan now.
We get on it, all of us, pretty much. My wife, my son loves the Olympic basketball, loves the WNBA stuff.
Oh, that's
he just
neat.
Loves basketball. My nephew too. He's really into the basketball. So I'll get into conversations about the WNBA.
That's sweet. I love it. They're actually expanding. So this is kind of interesting. We'll call this the Caitlin Clark effect, because not only are they adding another franchise next year called the Golden State Valkyries, but in 2 years, well, in 2025, no, 26, I'm sorry, they're adding two more franchises. One of them's in Toronto. Shoot, Mike, do you remember where the other one is? One's in Toronto, and I will go look. But they're also expanding the regular season to 44 games, which is not quite the same as the NBA or the NHL, but that's still a lot of games that they pack in. My only concern for them, and this is because of the timing of their season, they right now are playing their finals in the middle of October. So they're actually expanding their finals to a best of seven. I bet that the WNBA league offices are hoping that in doing this and in watching the growth of the Fever and how much better they were at the end of the season versus at the beginning, that at some point in the near future, they're going to get Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever in a seven-game WNBA finals. But yeah, they're doing all kinds of expansion, and they're also about to renegotiate the CBA with the players. And what I'm hearing is that the player salaries are going to get a major boost, because they're going to negotiate based on, or their players association is going to negotiate based on the fact that they're making so much more money now and all this ad revenue. And a lot of it can be traced back to Caitlin.
Yeah. And they're having a new TV contract as well. Portland, true, true. One Portland. Of my favorite cities to get pizza. Keep Portland weird, everyone listening in Portland. Yeah. They're getting a franchise as well to join Toronto and
Golden State.
Golden State, as you mentioned. Yes, the San Francisco Bay Area. So the league is expanding rapidly. And I always compared this to when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came into the league with the NBA, because it wasn't just one person. It was rivals kind of that catapulted the league and that people wanted to see. And so you have this with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And it's the same thing with Magic and Larry. They were in the college, you know, NCAA finals against each other.
Yep.
which Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were, and now it's going to the professional league as well. And already that, you know, if Angel hadn't gotten hurt, maybe the Rookie of the Year award that Caitlin won unanimously would have been a little bit more closer, we think. So,
oh no, not unanimously.
Oh yeah, there was one outlier. I did see that. There was one outlier. I texted my friend who has a WNBA vote, and I was like, "Was this you?" And he was like, "No, I swear." And I was like, "I bet it was," because he was an Angel Reese fan. So I think this is really helping grow the game. I mean, yeah, a lot of people want to put it on Caitlin, but I think it's the rivalry between the two that has carried over from college. The other thing is these girls who've stayed in college, as we saw with the numbers and the ratings for the women's NCAA tournament, when you stay there longer and you can build the story and grow, it's better than the men's level. It was one and done.
Right, that's true. People get invested in your team longer, like they did with Iowa, for instance, or South Carolina, or LSU, or any of these teams where they've got stars that are growing up. USC now is one. So, all right, that's 2 hours down. Wowzers, we're going to get to some football coming up next, because Devontae and Aaron, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.